advertising media capital of the world, New Milford, Connecticut, wherever that is. This is Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson. Now, here's your host, Matt Wilson.
Good morning, everybody. Remember the song, Let's Go Mets? Let's go Mets! F-A-N! Doo-doo-doo! Yes, wild card starts tonight. Mets, Padres, Citi Field, 8:07 start time. Scherzer against Darvish. But it's not a sports talk show. I wish it was, but let's go Mets. I'm a long-suffering Mets fan. And all Mets fans are long-suffering Mets fans. And we deserve the big win. Anyway, welcome to Friday Morning Live,
we'll live
with Matt Wilson.
We're
going to do it live. It's just better to do it live, you know? I was talking to a guy yesterday who I used to work with, and he, used to work at a dealership. He was a sales manager, and he goes, I said, hey, how's the new gig? And he goes, oh, man, it's great. He said, I killed it last week. I was killing it, you know, working like 55 hours a week, but I'm killing it. And you see that a lot in the automotive industry. You see that a lot, the guy who works a ton of hours a week and likes to brag about it. I call it 60-hour-a-week guy. You know the guy. Everyone knows a guy like 60-hour-a-week guy. He's the guy on Facebook or on LinkedIn or on Twitter talking about how he works 60 hours. He grinds it out. You know what I'm saying? He's part of the grind. 60-hour-a-week guy. And I get it. Retail is crazy. I worked for 7 years at a group of car dealerships, and there's no harder working people at a car dealership than the salespeople and the sales managers. But the bragging about working 60 hours a week drives me nuts, because that's not a flex. Yeah, man, I worked 60 hours a week last week. Oh, it was crazy. Spent so much time at work, I haven't mowed my lawn in a month. It's not a flex that you work that much. It's not a flex. It's not something to be proud of. It's a failure in your organization, or a lack of or disorganization on your part. You shouldn't have to work 60 hours a week to make a living. I don't know why it's a bragging thing. Yeah, man, I worked 60 hours a week. I haven't seen my wife and kids in 3 months. I forgot what they look like. I saw them in the first quarter. I sold 27 cars. And I work 60 hours a week. I'm killing it. I don't get it. It's not a brag. If you can do that, you can sell those cars, you can make that money, and you can do it in 40 hours a week, then I would brag about it, because you're good at the time management. You're doing a great job. But 60 hours a week, I don't want to work 60 hours a week. I love my job, love my company, but you know what I love more? My kids and my family, you know? I don't get the 60-hour-a-week bragging guy. You got to have balance in life. If you work 60 hours a week, you're going to burn out. You're going to turn on the company you work for. You're going to start to say it's not worth it. And if something goes wrong or you have a bad month, you're going to get soured on what you're doing. You're going to turn negative fast. You don't need to work 60 hours a week. You need to have better time management. At auto dealerships, a ton of time is wasted. Guys outside smoking cigarettes, watching golf tournaments, sitting at their desk with their feet up, going to get coffee 9 times a day, taking a long lunch. Bear down, focus, get your work done, sell your cars, go home and live your life. What's the point of making $200,000 a year if you don't get to enjoy it? I live near a lake, and there's all these beautiful houses on the lake, and I never see anybody outside at these houses. They have these beautiful docks and patios and fire pits, and no one's out there because they don't have time to enjoy it. What's the point of buying a beautiful house on the lake if you can't enjoy the beautiful house? What's the point of working 60 hours a week to make a ton of money if you can't spend it? You can't go on vacation. You can't see your kids grow up. I don't know. I don't get it. I recently gained some perspective on this. Some of you who maybe listen regularly or know me know that my wife passed away earlier this year, and it helped me gain perspective on the importance of family. There's not one time I was working and doing something that was more important that I could have been spending time with my wife. I just don't see it. I don't see the point of 60-hour-a-week guy. I get it. I get the life of a car dealership salesperson or a sales manager or a fixed ops guy. Like, I get it. But Make better use of your time. You could do my job at the agency that I do, and you could do it in 60 hours. It could take you 60 hours a week to do it. Or you can focus and prioritize and get it done in 40 hours a week. Or you can be super focused, smart, priority guy and get it done in 30 hours a week. But who gives an F about how long it takes you to get it done as long as you get it done? Why am I getting so angry? Because 60-hour-a-week guy brags about it on Facebook. Dude, man, I'm part of the grind. I've been so busy, my cat died. I couldn't get home to feed my cat because I was busy selling cars, man. I get them in the box and I upsell them on their APR and their payment and their rate. Boom, 60 hours. I got home at 10:45. I don't think that's cool. I think that's ridiculous. Life is all about balance. Isn't that from a Batman movie? I feel like they said that in the movie. Life is about balance. Ra's al Ghul. Is that the name of the guy? I'm pretty sure he talks about that. It's about balance. And 60 hours a week guy does not have the balance. Dude, balance that shit out, man. You know what I'm saying? I also don't like half day guy, by the way. I had a general manager once who, like, you would leave work at 5:45 and he'd be like, yeah, half day. F you, pal, half day. I want to go home and have dinner with my family. Half day. Is my work done? Yeah, bitch, my work's done. Wow, I'm getting very angry very fast. Let's take a break and have some coffee. Hold on. I'm getting all worked up. Getting worked up. Got to calm it down. Less caffeine. Chill out, Matt. Chill out. But yeah, half day guy is annoying too. Hey, man, half day. What's the difference if I got my work done in 6 hours or 10 hours? I got all my work done. Who cares? Half day guy. All right, let's calm down. Although I don't see calming down going to happen because my guest coming up in a minute is the vice president of sales at Reunion Marketing, Chad Graves. And he is as caffeinated, if not maybe more caffeinated than I am, if that was at all possible. So let's take a break and we will come back and talk to Chad about all things marketing in the automotive industry. It's Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson, presented by Silverback Advertising and Anchor. And here is a word on Anchor. All right, we are back. Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson. Joining us now on the podcast, he's the vice president of sales at Reunion Marketing, Chad Graves, on with us. Hey, Chad, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Matt? Thanks for having me on today, man. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. I was joking around as we were talking earlier in the week about talking today, having you on the podcast today. And one thing, my agency works with your agency a lot. And one thing I noticed is that you seem to be highly caffeinated. Is that true?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. You don't have to, right? I got a young baby at home combined with trying to grow a digital marketing agency that works with car dealerships. Man, if you don't stay caffeinated, I don't really know how you do it. But I think I come with a high level of energy even without it. So it's a little bit of both.
You do. First time we met, we were doing the interagency chat. And I was like, man, this guy's got energy. He's got the standing desk. He's going. He's flopping around. He makes it happen. I like it. I like the energy.
Thank you. I try.
Let's just chat. I didn't think of a topic to talk about, and I thought I don't want to keep it down to one topic. But like, what's going on right now with you guys? Like, what do you think is top of mind for your dealers, Reunion clients, and just in the industry right now? Tell me what's top of mind, and we'll just riff.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, I think that's an easy subject to start off with, right? It's something that both you and I could probably talk about for hours. But I think it really comes down to a couple things. Is, you know, as the landscape changes, as some inventory comes back, maybe some of it never does, as the used car market softens, all these things that are going on, you know, OEM selling direct to consumers for EVs, all of that's got people, I think, questioning, you know, where should I be spending my budget? How should I be spending my budget? Am I spending it as effectively as I possibly can? I think that that's a big piece of it right now. And you combine that too with, you know, nonstop updates from a privacy standpoint on the large channels like Google, YouTube, Facebook. Those are the two main things that I think we're really kind of faced with that, you know, one way or another, whether we're talking SEO or search or OTT with you guys, it's always coming back around to those kind of two things: is how am I spending my money and how is it going to actually help me deliver vehicles and leads and all that good stuff, right? I think those are the two main things that we kick off with.
Yeah, I also want to mention the inventory thing real quick. I like how you just said, let's talk about these two things, and then I totally changed the subject. But yeah, I was just thinking of it. I was on a website earlier on at a dealer in a pretty big market, and they have like 29 cars in stock, new and used. And I was driving the other day, a town over from mine, going to get my haircut, and I drove by a Honda dealer in Danbury, and they have like their main lot with new cars, and then they have their side lot, which is huge, which is usually stacked with used cars. And that lot is empty. And their main lot has, you know, I don't know, I haven't checked their inventory online, but some cars in it. And, you know, so most of their cars, when they show up, the guy was telling me, most of the cars when they show up are on the truck are already sold. How do you see that affecting clients in terms of like, well, do I really need to advertise an Accord? Because I'm going to sell all my Accords no matter what I do. And then how do you talk to clients about that? You know, it's like, Listen, you still got to get the word out there that why your store is different than the guy in the next town over.
I think you're exactly right. I mean, it is a nonstop conversation, but honestly, let's face it, it's a conversation we've all now been having for a year plus, right? I mean, yeah. I think at one point we were like, you know, very similar to a pandemic, right? Like this is going to be a 3-4 month thing and then we'll bounce right back. And then, you know, you see the residual effects. And I think we're still seeing them. So I think it, you know, just like you mentioned, what we're really telling folks is, look, it's the people on the other side of the pandemic that never cut off that, you know, were able to explode out of it. And we expect it to be the same thing through this inventory shortage.
Yeah.
The people who stay consistent, who stay branded, who, you know, stay top of mind are who are inevitably going to be at the top when this is over, especially when you look at SEO and search and some of those things. It's still automatically when people, doesn't matter if I bought 5 cars from, you know, Matt Wilson's Chevrolet, if you don't have the vehicle I need in that exact moment when I'm ready to buy, then you probably lost my business. And as we know that you might've lost it for a long time after that. And so I think it's about staying consistent, staying in front of people. And I ultimately think that those are the dealers that are going to succeed the most, you know, once inventory does respond back to a more normal level here.
You know, even in my own experience, I bought a Jeep Grand Cherokee L last year, and I went to the dealer that was third in terms of distance away from me because the local dealer who I wanted to buy from just didn't have the car that I wanted. They just didn't have it. Nothing they could do about it. And then the other next closest dealer was a terrible experience, bad reputation. I had the worst experience in the dealership, and I was like, I'm not buying a car from these guys.
Right.
Call up the guys that were an hour away and bought the car there in the afternoon because that afternoon, because a lot of it comes down to do you have the car or not? And, you know, the inventory thing started when? Was it a year ago almost? It's been a while.
Right. Yeah.
The question becomes, when does it end? Because I think last year, I didn't think we'd be having this discussion this year about it.
I don't know that we'll ever go back and forth on this one. You know, it's similar, right? Our office is in like an auto park and used to drive around, there'd be literally hundreds of cars, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just hard, I guess, for me to imagine that, you know, in the next 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, that all of a sudden these empty lots are all going to be full again. Maybe certain manufacturers will kind of ebb and flow, but like, I don't know. I mean, I think that it's no secret that, you know, dealerships have been doing quite well and a lot of OEMs have been doing quite well. So, you know, are they going to go back to, you know, hundreds of cars sitting there?
Yeah, a huge floor plan expense. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I mean, you look at what's going on in places like Florida, unfortunately, right, with the hurricane, and it's wiped vehicles out. Well, it wiped a lot less vehicles out this go around than it would have, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if things like that factors come into play, and ultimately it's just a change of process. Who knows?
Speaking of Florida, it'll be interesting to see how the market works that out down there. Because like you said, lots of people lost their cars. Lots of dealerships lost their cars. There's a lot of people in Florida going to be in the market for cars, for furniture, for decor, for clothing, anything that got lost during the hurricane. It'll be interesting to see. Because you've seen the pictures, right, on Twitter and TikTok of cars just floating down the road, dealerships losing, you know, their whole inventory, in one day of the hurricane. And, you know, that could have a residual effect on the rest of us.
Yeah, I 100% think so, right? I mean, you got a backlog of people who already wanted vehicles, and now the vehicle that they had, that they were on a waiting list for another one, they might not get either, right? So it's going to create, obviously, some friction You know, I think what's great is obviously one of the things that I love about car dealers is they're a pretty resilient bunch. We've got some, you know, folks, we got some great clients on that coast of Florida and, you know, down in that area. And I mean, you know, even you guys, you know, got some folks in Baton Rouge, right? So it's, I wasn't like, it's, those areas are used to these things. And, you know, even though this is bad, they'll bounce back and they'll be there to provide opportunities for customers, which is ultimately what keeps us around, I think.
You know, one of the things that, you know, I've been thinking about a lot lately is I have a coworker who you know also, who just bought a Tesla. And he talks about how the experience of purchasing, or I think he leased it? Did he purchase it? I guess he purchased it. The Tesla was unlike any car buying experience that he's ever had. And are dealers worried about that in your opinion, dealers you talk to, or should they be worried about that? Or how can we as an industry on the dealer level react to the ability of these EV manufacturers to provide a frictionless experience direct to consumer?
I think if you're not, I don't want to use the word worried, but if you're not watching it, then that is the problem, right? I think that a lot of dealers are saying, okay, how can we make this easier? You see some of the bigger groups and, you know, you see what some of these publicly traded folks are doing with getting vehicles around and, you know, sharing inventory again and things like that. And I mean, ultimately, look, let's face it, like that's what the customer is going to expect. There's no, I mean, I leased my wife a Mazda we leased it together a couple months back, and you know, the process stunk, right? Like, I mean, I was in there, I knew exactly what I wanted, the exact vehicle, you know, everything. It was all picked out. Credit, everything, and it still took 5.5 hours. And like, you just can't name another thing that takes that long. That
we do. My closing on my house was quicker than that.
Yeah, mine too, right? Like, it's like, and so I think if you're not paying attention to what happens, then yeah, like you're gonna get passed by. But I think there's a lot of progressive smart dealers who are saying, okay, the tools are out there. And I think, you know, there's a lot of folks in the industry who, this really isn't that new, right? Like, I mean, there are people, you know, I think we both know Sean Welsh over there and at CarBiz, and he was doing this delivering cars, I think like 15 years ago, he talks about on his show, right? It's like, this is all possible. It's just a matter of understanding that the landscape has changed, accepting that, and then put the plan in place for your store and process to go forward.
I feel like sometimes in the dealer level, it requires a little bit of like entrepreneurial experimentation. Like you got to figure out like, okay, you got to recognize like we got to make this process easier for customers. But how do we do that? Well, let's try some things because there's not that like tried and true, like, well, we'll do it this way and it's done. Yep. You got to figure out how it works for your internal process, how it affects you financially, what the staffing situation is, you know, the geography of where you are comes into play on that, you know, if you're a rural dealer or a city dealer. So you got to kind of have that, like, you got to be willing to experiment a little bit, right?
Most assuredly, right? And like you said, each market's going to be different and what people want out of that experience is going to be a little bit different. And then you got, you know, some dealers that are making their dealerships the experience themselves and making that the part of it. And if that works for you, then lean into it. I just think that you got to understand what your customer base wants because ultimately that's going to be the most important. And then probably keep innovating on that, right? To your point, it's like it requires that entrepreneurship skill of like, whatever I put in place today may not be what we inevitably get to. But I think all those things are what dealers need to be kind of considering and looking at today for sure.
So our union, of course, is elite SEO specialists. What is the challenge? What's the number one challenge you guys see in talking to dealers about SEO? SEO is not as easy to explain, to sell, to review with dealers as, you know, paid search or OTT or direct mail is. What's the number one challenge that you guys face trying to drill home to dealers? Like, here's what you got to think about.
Yeah, I think, great question. I think it comes down to probably two or three main things.
Sure.
One of them is...
I said one, but if you want to make it two or three, no problem.
I think they're all coupled together, right? I can't
help it. No, go for it. It's fine.
One is the image of what SEO was, right? Or like, oh, I tried SEO, I've worked on SEO, I've had this provider, and it either A, didn't work, or B, it's fine, right? And it's like this idea that it like hasn't evolved over the last couple of years. And I'm like, you're right. running the same strategy as you did, you know, you're not doing anything different than you did before pandemic, before, you know, all these things. Like, come on, is that really the best practice? And I guess if you were to boil it down, it is that kind of archaic idea. And then plus that, I think, leads into, you know, well, why can't I see results in 2 months? Right. And I often talk about it's kind of more of a marathon, right? You're going to train a little harder, work a little harder, but the results last a little longer. And that's ultimately, I still think for a large part of dealers is that we live and die in a 30-day cycle, right? And for better or for worse, I think that's great because it creates urgency, but I think it's a problem because it gets a little short-sighted. And that, especially when it comes to SEO, branding, some of these larger term plays from a marketing and advertising perspective.
I used to have an owner who would say to me on Friday, like, Matt, what do we got going on for this weekend? Like before the holiday. And I'm like, dude, it's too late. Like what we had going on this weekend was 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Make sure it's all dialed in. The search, our TV placement, our SEO. And it's like the SEO, you're not dialing in for what's happening 3 days from now. And we used that phrase, that was 5 years ago. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yep.
Absolutely. You know, but I think with SEO too, I find that it Google is rolling out. It's ever changing. There's things that come out all the time. How do you guys keep up with the constant flow of changes that come in from Google?
Oh man, I wish there was a perfect answer to this. I think the best answer is it takes a village, right? It takes a team. Yeah. No one person today can stay on top of all the updates. I think there's people out there that do a really good job at it and that become really known about that. But you literally have to be on it, 24/7, 365. So, for us, what I think has worked really well is we have a centralized place that we dump articles, we dump updates, and that's for the whole company to see, which allows us, to say, okay, wow, Google's making this update. How's it affecting my clients? Or, Google's up making this update. How does maybe this affect the test that we need to run? Mm-hmm. And it's about that kind of staying on top of it from multiple people and then dissolving that across the organization so that we can really understand, how are some of these changes updating, right? I think I just saw yesterday maybe, so I don't even want to quote this, but that store visits might be like getting retired, right? So it's like nonstop stuff. There's gonna be something every day.
Yeah, they change their metrics or the measuring points or their goals, and it's ever changing. I find that just coming from the dealer side prior to being at Silverback, that I knew enough to know that I didn't completely understand SEO. I was never going to understand it, and you have to find a partner. My dealer principal would be like, "Oh, can we do it in house?" No, we can't. You got to find a partner that's trustworthy, but also transparent, because it's easy to find an agency that says, "Yeah, we're going to do A, B, C, D," but then you never see like what they're doing, right? How important is it to be like, here's what we're working on for SEO. Yes, the results come later, but here's the process that we're going about. How important is it to be transparent in that?
I think it's one of the most critical things about a partnership, right? I mean, I always say, one of the questions that dealers will often ask me is like, well, tell us about an experience that didn't go well, or, and a lot of times it comes down to like clear communication of goals early on, and then making sure that we are continually updating our strategy to align with those dealerships' goals, right? Yeah. And so if as transparent as we can be, the ups, the downs, the updates, all of those, we are trying to communicate on at least a monthly basis, if not more than that, just so that we can make sure that our folks know what's being worked on. And then really, I guess most critically is why is that being worked on, right? If I'm building you a content page, what's the goal of that? It's not just to, check a box, or it shouldn't be, I guess, right? It should be about, this is meant and written for you in this market to rank in these areas for these keywords. And that's
sometimes it is, though, check a box, right?
A lot
sometimes
of
it is. The manufacturer gives the dealer their audit. Here's your audit for the month, and you don't have A, B, and C. Oh man, we don't want to get a 60 next month or next quarter. We want to get an 85. Can you build us a landing page for the Ultima?
Yes.
Check.
It's amazing how often, and I don't mind taking a little shot here. I get these OEM reports sometimes, and I'm like, Mr. Dealer, it says that you don't have these five things, but here are the exact links to those five things. They spent 35 seconds auditing this website. So I think it's, you got to look at that stuff and know what they're looking for, share that with your vendor partners so that they know, and then make sure that that's incorporated in the strategy from a unique and custom standpoint.
I got the vice president of sales from Union Marketing, Chad Graves, on the podcast with me. Chad is a Chicago Cubs fan, and tonight is game one of the wild card round here between the – let me get the jersey up here. Yep. Between the Mets and the Padres. Your season is over. So, do you, you know, what's that? What's time you're used to? No problem. You know, I don't hate the Cubs. I like a team that struggles. I'm a Mets fan, and I've been since I was a kid, and I was living through the 90s as a Mets fan. Yep. But so what do you do now? Are you the kind of fan that just tunes it out, or do you follow along with the postseason even though your team is out of it?
I'll follow along the postseason. I'll say, you know, NFL starting up, and, you know, I'm in North Carolina now, back in North Carolina, I should say, is starting, you know, basketball season will be quickly approaching. So, you know, baseball will have my attention here for a couple more weeks, right? But I think baseball goes, you know, probably two in the distance. And I think that there's some really exciting teams like the Mets right now that are playing really well that, you know, could all kind of dice it up a little bit, right? Yeah. Throw that with your other team across from New York's getting a lot of publicity right now. So
yeah,
I think this seems like fun for it, right? But I'd be lying if I said I'd be paying full attention, but as much as if the Cubs were there. But to your point, only a few times in my life have they been playing this late into the year. So it's hard
to pay attention that long. I mean, I love the building suspense of, you know, bottom of the ninth and two on and two out and they're down by one. But also the World Series is until like the first week in November. And by then you've got NFL in full swing, hockey's back. Like you got all these things going on. So your attention gets, especially if you're a sports fan, gets divided and divided and divided. So it becomes hard. And obviously I want the Mets to go as long into the postseason as possible, especially because I'm a Patriots fan. And normally it's just a given we're in the playoffs, but you know, this year it's a struggle. So I need one team to be good through the fall, and I'm counting on the Mets, which probably isn't a great thing to do.
No, you know, at least you got one to root for. I'm Cubs and Panthers, so it's not a lot of hope for me at all this year. So I'm just kind of waiting for 2023 to roll around at this point.
Well, as you know, we got some folks at Silverback in North Carolina, and they follow the Panthers too, and they are always saying the same thing. So anyway, Chad Graves, VP of Sales, Reunion Marketing. I appreciate it, man. Let's just have you on like as a regular guy. There's no need for it to book like a thing. Let's just do it.
Yeah, anytime, man. This is a pleasure. I love the conversation. Love working with you guys. So thanks anytime. I'll be here anytime. So thank you.
All right, appreciate it, Chad. Let's take a break. We'll be right back on Friday Morning Live with Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson. If you're thinking about starting your own podcast, let me tell you about Anchor. Not like the anchor that comes off a boat that helps the boat stay in place by like landing on the bottom of a lake or an ocean. Anchor, as in the platform that helps make your podcast easy. Anchor is owned by Spotify, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And when hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcast, and more. So you record it, you put it on the Anchor, and then they blast it out to all the platforms people use to listen to podcasts, like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and, you know, all them other ones. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor is totally free. And you know the old saying, if it's free, it's for me. Mm-hmm. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. That is anchor.fm to get started.
I can't do it. We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live.
All right, wrapping up another episode of Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson. I hope you enjoyed the show today, enjoyed the conversation with Chad. Love the guys at Reunion Marketing, and appreciate listening. I got to say, you're supposed to say all these things when you have a podcast. You got to like and follow and subscribe and smash the subscribe button. I don't know what any of that stuff means, but I'll put it just to say it this way. Stay in touch. Like and follow Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, thanks for listening to Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson. See you next Friday. Presented by Silverback Advertising, by the way, silverbackadvertising.com.
Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson is brought to you by... Wait, this guy has sponsors? Oh, never mind. This sheet of paper's blank. No sponsors. That makes more sense. For updates, info, future episodes, and more, follow on Twitter, subscribe on YouTube, like on Facebook, and connect on Frackle. You guys made that last one up. That's not even a thing, Frackle. Come on.